So tonight, can you turn with us to the book of Genesis? Genesis, let me bring up the slide again. Genesis, and I will begin to read from, that's the Slido again. If you want to participate, you want to record that. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 6, from verse number 5. This passage is quite long, but we're going to bring some lessons from Noah, preparing for the unexpected rain. Preparing for the unexpected rain. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible tells us something that was happening on the earth that God saw. I'm reading from what's known as the English Standard Version of the Bible. And from the English Standard Version of the Bible says there that the Lord saw the wickedness of mankind, that it was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of the heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. I want us to stop and pause there. God saw the wickedness of man on the earth. Now, when you look at the times and seasons we're living in now, I tell you, in the last 48 hours, 72 hours, it's been terrible, one news after the other. And I pray tonight, I don't know if Grace is watching, I pray that the Lord will comfort your family. Amen. As you go through this time. I don't know if this has been shared with her. Yeah, Grace, we pray for you. We pray for your family, that the Holy Spirit will comfort you. Amen. For the, you know, the loss of your brother.
Amen.
We pray that you will experience the Spirit of the living God in a new way. In a new way, the Comforter will reveal himself to you, to your family, will carry you through this time of grief.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The wickedness of mankind, you know, just past 72 hours, just heard of about two different people who were assassinated by evil people. Evil people still living on this earth. You know, these things are real. And, you know, when we come for a Bible study, we're not trying to pretend that things are rosy with everybody. You came on this broadcast, for example, maybe you just got some bad news, maybe something unexpectedly happened and didn't go well the way you wanted it. I want you to know that this word tonight is a word of comfort to you. You know, word of comfort. And I also want to pray for my friend. If you all can join me, my good friend, Chapeau, who brought this word to us on the first day of the retreat. I'm not sure if he's watching also, but Chapeau, if you're watching, we pray for you and over your family, every member of your family in Iran. We pray for the divine protection of God upon them. The Bible says that, yes, persecutions will come, but none of these things, we are not moved by any of these things. So every of your family facing persecution because of their faith, because of the exploits you are doing in the kingdom, we pray Psalm 91 over them. We say of the Lord, we say they are hidden in the secret place of the Most High. They abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No evil shall befall them. No plague will come near their dwelling. Psalm 27, the Lord is their light and salvation. Whom shall they fear? When the wicked came upon them, when the wicked came, they will stumble, they will fall. No evil will befall you. We pray the angels of the Lord that encamp around the righteous will keep you and your family in the name of Jesus. Listen, everybody, the world we live in, you know, apart from even an invisible pandemic raging all over the place, killing people, new variant, a new strain, nobody knows, scientists, researchers, you know, everyone's trying to find a solution. And it's like one devastating news after the other. Listen, God is still God. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same forever. And he's also our strong tower. You know, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. I pray right now that that name, the name of Jehovah God, the Elohim, the source of all life and all inspiration, under the shadow of his wings, all of us listening tonight will find comfort. We will be under the banner, protected under that banner, mm-hmm. under the mighty towering rock of safety. Mm-hmm. We will find safety. And these words tonight will bring healing, will bring deliverance, will accomplish what God pleases. It's a word of comfort. So the wickedness of man was great, according to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And in verse 6, the Bible says that God decided, because he regretted the evil he was seeing mankind doing to one another. And God decided that he was going to blot out man whom he's made, created on the earth. And God was sorry. The Bible says God repented. You know, let me read that verse, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. I'll read to verse 7. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I've made them. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if we go down to verse 11, it says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, this, if you read, some of us know the story of the ark, the floods, and everything that happened in Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. You know, it's a kind of a little parallel to what's happening in the world today. In the Bible, this is the first place we see a kind of a global catastrophe, a global pandemic kind of, where it rained, floods came on the earth, and it affected the entire known earth at that time. There's a global pandemic right now. It's affecting the entire planet. There is no nation on the earth where this pandemic, this invisible pandemic, you know, has not struck. And, you know, besides the pandemic, we see all the corruption, we see all the evil, we see the wickedness of man to man. We see all the things happening. This is the world we live in. And we want to learn from this man called Noah, who was living in such a time as that. How did he handle, what was his experience at that time? We see the first thing here, that he found grace in the eyes of God, according to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 that we read. God was angry. God was going to destroy the earth. And the Bible says he found grace, according to verse 8. But Noah found favor. Grace is also favor in the eyes of the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. God now said, I'm going to destroy the earth, but I won't destroy. I will spare you, your wife, your three sons, and their wives. But I want you to do something. You prepare, build for yourself an ark. You know, we see all that in that story. Please, it's an amazing story. You go read it, Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5 to 22. So the Bible tells us that about the generations of Noah. Because what we want to look at here is, let's see how God prepared Noah for an unexpected rain. Prior to this time, there was nothing like a flood on the earth. There was nothing like the global pandemic on the earth at that time. So the unexpected was the rain, was the flood that was going to come and affect the entire known earth during the time of Noah. So we want to see how God prepared Noah for that time and see what we can glean from that, you know, in this time and season we live in. And then we want to see how Noah himself prepared for that time. So we see two areas here, two aspects from two dimensions, God's dimension, God's perspective, and Noah's perspective. God preparing Noah, and Noah preparing himself. All right. So verse 9, let's go to verse 9, Genesis chapter 6. It tells us something interesting. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Look at that again. Let me read that. Verse 9. The preparation of Noah. Generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So how did Noah prepare? Noah never knew a flood was coming. Noah never knew there would be a time that God will tell him he was going to wipe off the earth and bring a global pandemic, a global flood that was going to wipe off everyone in that known earth at that time. But we see, this didn't kind of just jump on Noah. There was something about Noah. There was something right about Noah. The Bible says he was a righteous man. See, let's explain what a righteous person is. You see, the best way I like to simplify things, make it so simple that young child, like Jaden, four-year-old Jaden, can at least comprehend and understand. See, it didn't say Noah was a good man. No, it says Noah was a righteous man in his generation. Now, what's the difference between good and right? So that we understand in that context what a righteous person is. Listen, there's a difference in doing a good thing and doing the right thing. I repeat, there's a difference between doing a good thing and the right thing. You can do a good thing, but it's not necessarily right. For example, this may sound a little bit far-fetched, but you know, Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on your right cheek, you should turn the left cheek. Okay? That's what Jesus said. We see in the Bible. But excuse me, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, I think the good thing is to give them back in good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Give them a real backhand, smack them on the face. You smack me, I smack you back. You know, especially when they just smack you for no reason. The good thing is to reply them, whack, you know, you whack them back. But according to Jesus, the right thing is to turn the other cheek. Now, that's tough, especially with emotions and everything running when such things happen. You know, that's a little bit far-fetched. So there are so many good things we do, but they are not necessarily right. So Noah was not just doing what was good, he was doing what was right before God. You see, what is good before people may not necessarily be right before God. A good thing you do before people, a good deed, may not necessarily be a right deed. For example, I remember some years ago, a young lady was telling me that, see, my brother has written this exam for so many attempts and he keeps failing. And we're trying to find a solution because we want him to have a good future. So the family held a meeting and said, hey, sister, we've got to help our brother here. We know you're very intelligent. So can you sit this exam for your brother? You know, the family felt that it was a good thing to do. And when you look at it, oh, come on, it's his future. Let's just sit this exam for him. So you are going to go into the exam hall pretending you are your brother. You go with his name, and you know the name was a unisex name, so there was no way they could tell, and they didn't need identification to enter the exam hall. So the family felt it was a good thing. Go sit the exam for your brother. Go do this good deed for him, for his future. But excuse me, that was good to the family. That was not right before God. And morally also, well, I know some people's morals are, people are really morally bankrupt today. They don't care. They will tell you, yeah. It's good. There's nothing wrong in that. She's only helping her brother's future. Let me give you another one. I test my students with this question. I said, if you're walking on the road and then you find a 20-pound note on the floor, what are you going to do? Say, 20 pound? And I just found it there. Come on, I'm going to thank my stars that 20 pound must be a blessing. And I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to go shopping or something. I said, well, that's a good thing to go and buy good things for yourself because you found a 20 pound note. I said, but you know, the right thing to do is to try to find out who dropped this 20 pound note. Will it be that somebody is missing this note? And if it's somewhere that, of course, you can easily trace or ask around and all that. I know somebody's thinking there. You're already thinking, what if somebody lies and says it's their money? Look, you do what is right. You just do what is right. Do what is right. And let me tell us, what is right before people? Sorry, what is good before people may not necessarily be right with God. So I just want to give you the picture of Noah. Noah was doing what was right, and it was unpopular. So he kept doing it in all his generation. He did what was right, not what was popular. He did what was right, not just what was good. So it wasn't just good. He was doing the right things. Maybe that's a challenge to somebody. You are being... You're in a situation now between good and right. You want to make a decision. Should I do what is good? Should I do what is right? Listen, be like Noah. You do what is right and see his reward. God saw him. God noticed him. God brought favor to him. He was spared from the catastrophe that was going to befall everyone in this generation. Okay, so let's move on. So Noah prepared himself by doing what was right. If that's the first thing you want to see, you live a life doing right things, not just only good things. Okay, all right. Let us start. How did God prepare Noah also? You know, one of the amazing things here is that Noah was not just prepared by living a righteous life when he was old enough, accountable, you know, age of accountability. I saw something from the Bible, which is one strong lesson that we should learn. There's the God part and there is our part. You see, one of the abilities God has given us is the power of our tongue. What we say, what we call ourselves, and what we call people in our sphere of influence. If you're a parent, what you call your children. But start with yourself. What you call yourself. There's a principle in the Bible, because mankind, when mankind was made, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, we see that man has the ability to call and name things. And we saw that the Bible says God, whatever name the first man, Adam, called a thing, that was the name. And names are very, 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 very significant. We're going somewhere because, you see, names is like a computer programming. It's like a software program that you literally insert into a computer and the computer starts obeying those commands. What's a software program? It's just some set of commands telling the computer what to do. So basically, that's the way names are. They program us. They program our destiny. What you call a thing, what you call yourself, what you call your children, be careful, because they will become, and you will become, what you call yourself. So in preparing Noah, let's go to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, do you know what happened? Noah was pre-programmed for the future life he was living. He was pre-programmed at birth when he was born. He was like a software, a program was put inside him. You say, where is that? Okay. Before we do that, let's go to Genesis chapter 4, all right? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. We see a genealogy from Adam, the first man, you know, down. He had two sons with his wife, Eve, Cain, and Abel. You know that story. And Cain kills Abel. So after Abel died, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve had another son. Okay? They had another son. So from verse 25, the Bible says, Genesis chapter 4 now, verse 25, Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son, called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. And then the Bible says, to Seth also a son was born. And he called his name Enosh. He called his name Enosh. And you know what happened? After he called his name Enosh, the Bible says, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, the original literal manuscript says that people from that time began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to call themselves by the name of the Lord. They began to call themselves by the name of the Lord, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, we need to understand that principle, because names has a way of programming. It pre-programs you. It sets you for a kind of a destiny. Name literally is significant. It stands for three things: the nature of a thing, the character of a thing, and the ability of that thing. That's what we see in names. Now, when Cain killed Abel and Adam and Eve had another son, they called him Seth. Do you know the meaning of that name, Seth? That name, Seth, means compensation. So, you see what they said there? Compensation. Just more or less when you place or set something instead of another. So the set, they called him set. It means God has compensated us. So Set himself now had a child and he called him Enosh. And let me just tell us what Enosh means. We're going somewhere because we are learning from Noah. Okay? We are learning from Noah. Now, Enosh is a Hebrew name. It just simply means man. That's man. Just man. Okay? So he called his son man. Seth. Enosh. Man. But then mankind now began to call upon the name of the Lord when he was born. So how was Noah pre-programmed? Come with us to Genesis chapter 5. Okay? Don't call yourself names you don't want to become. Watch what you call yourself. This year, watch what you call yourself. You watch what you call yourself. Watch what you call your children. Watch what you call the people you have some oversight, influence over. Because what you call yourself and what you call those around is what they will become to you. I know someone who will always call her husband names, call the husband names. Anytime she's angry, call the husband names. And of course, you call your husband a name that is not his, that's what he's going to literally become. So we need to be very, very, very careful. All right. So let's go. How was Noah pre-programmed? Let's look at this, because Noah didn't just become someone that God was going to use later. He was pre-programmed at birth. His father's name was Lamech. So let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. The Bible says, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief. I'm reading English Standard Version, from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. The King James Version says, this one shall comfort us regarding the land which God has cursed. He had a son, Lamech, gave birth, and at birth, he pre-programs the life of the destiny of that child called Noah. Now you ask me, what's the meaning of Noah? Noah literally means comfort, relief. That's literally what it means. It also means rest. In other words, this child, no matter what's happening, this one, his life is going to be different. Listen, watch what you call your children. Watch what you call yourself. Don't call yourself names you don't want to become, because whatever you call yourself, you are literally pre-programming your life, your destiny, to become what you call yourself. Words are powerful, people. The Bible declares that life and death, they are in the power of the tongue. Listen, you birth what you call yourself. You will literally give birth to what you call yourself. You see, words and names, they're like seeds. You know, seeds, they take root and become plants. Now listen, he calls this boy Noah. And this boy grows up hearing himself being called comfort, relief, rest, comfort, relief, rest. He grew up in that wicked generation, knowing why he was called that name. He's been told, his life has been programmed. Yes, God has cursed the land, but because of you, you are going to bring a relief to this land. Now, are you wondering why Noah grew up and became a righteous man? In all his generation, he was pre-programmed at birth. Listen, don't call yourself, don't call your children names you don't want them to become. When your children are naughty, do not call them. I always emphasize this anytime I'm called to do a naming ceremony. Watch what you call your children. Your children are naughty, don't call them naughty. Don't call them foolish. Don't call them stupid, because that's what they will become to you. And that's what they will manifest. You are literally pre-programming their destiny. You know, one of the things we learned when we had the workshop, the mental health workshop, during the retreat in December, was, yeah, as righteous people, as Christians, we are commanded to bless, right? We're commanded not to curse, bless and not to curse. And, you know, we learned that some of us, we don't really curse, okay? We don't call ourselves horrible names or call our children horrible names. But at the same time, we don't bless our children either. Do you know what it means to bless? It's to make a proclamation. When you look in the Bible, you see the Bible says, and the Lord blessed them and said. So don't just bless your children in your heart. Bless them with words. You know, words are so powerful. So powerful. The words you are hearing right now, coming live streaming to you where you are, do you know they are literally changing something within you? It's a word of comfort we bring to you tonight. And I'm telling you, God is sending this word to you, this word of comfort. Learn this from Noah. Change what you call yourself. Change what you call your children. Start blessing yourself. Start blessing your children. You know, before we close tonight, I'm going to lead us in a declaration from Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to make that declaration together. So, what lesson, strong lesson from Noah? Watch what you call yourself. Do what is right, not just what is good. Watch what you call your children. Okay? So, let's look again. You will see that Noah's life, he stood out from the crowd. He was outstanding. If you want to be outstanding, do what is right. You want to stand out, you do what is right, not just what is good. Be ready to be the only one that will not follow the multitude to do evil. Everybody's doing it. It's always the mantra. You see people rioting, you join them. Excuse me, you came into this world alone. Alone you will go. Alone you will stand and face judgment. You're not going to say, oh, yeah, I did that evil because so-and-so influenced me. No, so-and-so will not defend you on that on the last day. So learn to do what is right. You may be lonely when you have to do what is right. It can be very, very, very lonely, I promise you. If you choose to stand and stand out to do what is right, it can be very, very lonely. So what other lesson can we learn from Noah? We're going to continue with this study next week. But I just want us to take some very, very key things. If anything at all, that one of names is very important. Very, very, very important. Names, name calling, they program. They have a way of programming our hearts. Okay, let's look at Noah from that same Genesis chapter 5. The Bible says in that verse 32, the next verse, he too had children. Okay, Noah himself had children. Remember, his father Lamech programmed his own life and called him Noah, rest, comfort, relief. He now had three sons after he lived 500 years. Guess what he called his three sons? The Bible tells us after Noah lived 500 years, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I was curious. You know, this is a Bible study. You can keep the questions coming in now because I'm going to pause in the next 3 minutes, and then we can see your contributions or your questions. So let me just quickly bring the Slido up again. You want to ask a question? That's the site to go, slido, hashtag 56515. So you can send your questions there based on what we've just learned tonight, the basic stuff, okay? Now, let's go back to Noah. Noah now has three sons. He calls them Shem, Ham, Japheth. So I was curious, what is the meaning of Shem? Shem, literally, according to the Hebrew translation, means a name, but not just a name, a celebrated name. Celebrated name. It literally means someone who will make a name for themselves. You see, those are the kind of things you should think about when you're calling children. You see, your children are naughty. Somebody's asking. So what do I do? Tell them, don't be naughty. Don't say you're naughty, you're stupid, you're foolish. Don't program their lives. You don't curse your children, but you don't bless them. Bless them. Speak words, wholesome words. And one of the things which you learn also, keep telling your children what they can do, what they can become. Stop telling them what they can't do. You know, some of us grew up and all we got told is, don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Sit down there. Hey, if you do that, this will happen. But you're never told what you can do, what you are able to do. That's the kind of programming we're talking about. Noah was programmed from birth what he can do, what he will do. He was going to bring comfort on the earth because of the land which God had cursed. Look at what happened. He found favor with God. He lived a righteous life. He saved the whole earth save himself, his wife, his sons, and their wives. So Shem means a celebrated name, like a celebrity. Make a name, someone who will make a name for themselves. If you go and study the genealogy of Shem, you will see and trace it to the current world today. Time will fail us, we won't do that tonight. And what is the meaning of Ham? Oh boy, it's not the ham you get from, where do we get ham from? Is it a pig? You know, one of my sons here, he likes ham. When we go shopping, we'll say, come on, daddy, buy ham. I said, no, I'm not buying no ham, mate. Now, that's not the ham we're talking about. Ham in Hebrew, do you know what it means? It means hot. Boy, I looked at that. Hot? What a name. Hot. H-O-T. And then I tried to trace Ham. Do you know what happened after the flood? Ham was the one who uncovered Noah's nakedness. And Noah placed a curse on an innocent grandchild. Remember we said, watch what you call your children? Noah was guilty. A lesson from Noah. Canaan, the son of the last born of Ham, was cursed. And the Bible said he became a servant. He was cursed. If you look at his life, the story, his ancestors, cursed generation because his grandfather placed the curse on him. But Ham, hot. H-O-T. I said, what a name. What a name. That's not a good name. It was hot. No, it shouldn't be hot in a negative sense. Hot-tempered, hot-hearted. You know, just hot. That's the meaning of Ham. Now, what about Japheth, the third child? It means opened. Expansion. Expansion. Now, when you look at these three sons, the one who was given the bad name, Hot, was the one that got a curse. Shem and Japheth covered their father's nakedness. Shem means a celebrated, one who will be celebrated, a name that will be celebrated, someone who will make a name for themselves. And Japheth means expansion, open, you know, and expand. That's a good thing. And that brings me, I'll end with this name in the Bible. You know, in fact, two names. A man who grew up and all he got called was fool. His name, Nabal. He did foolish things in his life. He almost, you know, cost himself his life and those of the people he was leading when he did, he wanted to repay David with evil. His wife, Abigail, saved him. Nabal means fool. He did foolish things. Imagine you're called fool all your life. You are programmed to do foolish things. But then there's a man called, yes, Bible scholars, you know who, in the book of Chronicles, his name, the man in Chronicles who said, God, enlarge my coast. His name was Jabez. His mom gave him a horrible name. It meant sorrow. And all his life, they kept calling him sorrow. Imagine, sorrow, come here. Everybody, I'm not sure he had friends. You know, when I think about it, I can have a friend, his name is Sorrow, and I want to play with Sorrow, come here, let me play with you. Come on, Sorrow, give it to me. No chance, mate. I'm not going to be your friend if your name is Sorrow. Don't bring sorrow to me. He grew up. He realized sorrow trailed him all his life, and he prayed, God, enlarge my coast. He renamed himself. He called upon God, and the Bible said God granted him his request. He said, God, remove this evil from me. Remove your evil, this evil hand. Don't let evil befall me. Enlarge my coast. He was more noble than all his generation. So, lessons from Noah. While we're preparing for the unexpected rain, because the rain then was unexpected. These are just some things we glean tonight. God bless you. I stop here tonight. Just very simple. We keep it simple. We keep it practical. So if you want to send a question, please go on Slido and let me check the comments. If there are comments or any questions, we will just check them out. You know, it's so sad that Some of us have been programmed with very, very bad names from birth. It's affected our mental health. Listen, just change your own name. Start calling yourself what you want to become this 2021. Just, is that easy? Yes, it is. If you keep hearing and you keep hearing, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. What you hear is what you gradually conceive and you become. You will birth what you keep hearing, what you keep conceiving. That's why the word of God is important. Do you know one thing you should do, one thing you and I should do about Noah? Again, the Bible says he walked with God. So make it intentional and deliberate that you will walk with God. You will spend time studying the word of God. It's a more sure word of prophecy. It's more real than somebody telling you, thus saith the Lord. I was sharing with someone Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you read that same psalm 50 years from now, it will say the same thing. If you read that same psalm 100 years from now, it will say the same thing. It is written, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So while I wait to see if there's anyone who wants to ask a question, I'm checking the Slido and I'm looking at the comments. You want to make a comment? You want to ask a question? Slido, let me bring it up again. I will just give us a few minutes of our time. We'll spend, we round up around 4:15 altogether. So I'll just ask it. Send your questions there if you want to interact. Make your comments if you want to do that and do that. Now, listen, while we're doing that, let me just give us a little time. I said we're going to make a declaration. We will make some declaration together. So I'm just waiting to see if people are going to put anything. I hope. Can you test if that's the code is okay? Slido 56515. Okay, because I'm not seeing any comments here and I'm refreshing and I hope that I'm not missing anything. I hope not. Okay, right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for this message. Thank you, Madalena. The Lord bless you. Thank you. So let's make this declaration. If there are no questions and we round up here tonight, we will look again next week into this together. So let me share the screen, and everybody, I want you to right now get ready to make these declarations with every power, with every energy in you. Make these declarations right now. Right? Are we ready? I'm going to go with my studio audience. I'll just declare and you repeat. I'll declare and you repeat. Okay, are we ready? Ready, everybody?
Yes.
All right. Just say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I arise today and I shine.
I arise today and I shine.
Because God is my light and salvation.
Because God is my light and my salvation.
I arise because the light of God.
I arise because the light of God
shines into me.
Shines into me.
And through me.
Into every darkness in the world.
In Jesus' name,
I am radiant with the glory,
splendor,
majesty,
and honor of the Lord.
The glory
and brilliance of the Lord
upon me
makes me to shine before nations.
In the name of Jesus,
people come to my light,
and I shine
with the glory and brilliance of the Lord.
I create solutions
and solve problems on the earth.
In the name of Jesus,
to the glory of God,
I solve people's problems.
And they bring gold and silver to me.
And they bring gold and silver to me.
To the glory of God.
To the glory of God. In the midst of darkness,
my light will always be seen.
And I will shine,
To the glory of God.
In the name of Jesus,
I am radiant
with the glory,
splendor,
majesty,
and honor of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
I say by virtue of the words you've heard tonight,
this word of the Lord sent to you will not return to back to God void.
Amen.
The word of the Lord you've heard tonight will accomplish what God pleases in your life because
Amen.
It is written, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my lips. It shall prosper whereunto I sent it and accomplish that which I please. So tonight, receive comfort. Receive relief.
Amen.
Receive a new name,
Amen.
A new nature,
Amen.
A new character.
Amen.
Receive the ability to begin to manifest
Amen.
As a child of God.
Amen.
And if you do not know God and you came onto this broadcast, by virtue of the word of God you've heard tonight, God himself reveals himself to you
Amen.
In a new way,
Amen.
In an unexpected way.
Amen.
You will know the Lord.
Amen.
You will see the Lord. You will experience the Lord.
Amen.
You will taste the Lord.
Amen.
And you will see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
And right now, I say in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
I cast out everything God has not planted in your mind.
Amen.
Whatever names you have been called and programming your life right now, I say in the name of Jesus, just like viruses are wiped out of computers by reason of the word of God, the word that is clean, the word that is pure, your heart becomes pure. Your life becomes pure.
Amen.
Your soul, your mind
Amen.
Receive a cleansing.
Amen.
The power of God, the cleansing power of the word of God
Amen.
Cleanses you right now
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
By the washing of the water, by the word, you are made whole.
Amen.
You are clean.
Amen.
You are pure.
Amen.
You are sanctified,
yes.
Separated from now on. For a godly purpose in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray healing into your body.
Amen.
I speak healing into your body.
Amen.
The crown of your head to the sole of your feet.
Amen.
Every organ, tissue, every water, blood, artery, vein, every cartilage, every vertebrae, every bone, every ligament, every tendon, receive strength, receive life. By the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than that of Abel, your life becomes better and better and better and better because God said so in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Somebody says, can you narrate the story of the man called Fool for us? I just had the name today. Okay. What I will do is I will give you where it is. And you go into the Bible and read the story because of our time. And maybe next week, I will tell us more about it. Okay? The story of the man called Nabal. Nabal, he's the name. He's called Fool. N-A-B-A-L. Nabal. Okay? Nabal. We see that story. Let me give you in the right context, in 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25, and you can read it from, let me see, okay, verse 3. 1 Samuel, I think the media team will help us put it on the live broadcast there on the live stream, the comments. 1 Samuel chapter 25, and you read from verse 3. The Bible says, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. I pray if your husband has been behaving foolishly, if anyone like that, don't be a fool like your husband. You be the Abigail.
Abigail simply means my father's joy, my father's delight. You be a delight, right? You have anyone behaving foolishly around you, you be an Abigail to them, okay? So that's the story. She was a woman of good understanding. She was beautiful, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, right? And it was of the house of Caleb. House of Caleb. Now, I'm not going to say what Caleb means. One of the meaning of the name Caleb, in a literal sense, is also something that is quite funny. But I won't say it on this live broadcast. The whole idea is you call yourself a new name. What you want to become, call yourself. You want to become a mother of children, call yourself a mother of children. If you look at the Bible, God, anytime he started a new thing in somebody's life, he changed their names. We see Abram becoming Abraham. Abram is high father. He had no child, but God changed it to a father of a multitude. So start calling yourself by the name of your unborn children. Start calling yourself by the name of the children that you are believing and you know God has promised you. Start calling yourself by that name. Start calling yourself by what you want to become and start preparing your heart to become that thing. God will change Sarai to Sarah. Sarai means contention, somebody who's always contending. Change it to Sarah means princess. God had to change those names, and then God fulfilled his promises in their lives. Abraham indeed became the father of faith, of a multitude. Sarah became the father in her old, mother in her old age. She gave birth. And guess what she called her son? Isaac. If you look at that son, Isaac, it means laughter. That child made them laugh. That child was never a grief to them. Never. Watch what you call your children. Don't call your children what you don't want them to become. And then God wants to deal with a man called Jacob. He was born Jacob. Jacob means a cheat, supplanter. God changed his name, Israel, which means a prince of God.